you've discovered TalkZone.com. TalkZone.com. The best in internet talk radio. TalkZone.com. Now, TalkZone presents The Bob Woodson Show. What works and why? Insights and solutions to some of America's most troubling societal problems. Featuring community activist Robert L. Woodson Sr., who has spent decades promoting solutions to some of the most challenging problems facing our nation today. Now, here's your host, Bob Woodson.
Welcome, everyone. This is The Bob Woodson Show. Once again, we're focusing our attention on the troubling problem of youth violence. And once again, we'll be looking not only at the problem, but more importantly, looking at the solution. Today, we're going to look at the formerly violent high school in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, one with many gangs and violent youth, was turned around into one of the safest and best performing schools in the city of Milwaukee. What is it that the principal did to turn this school around? Can this happen in any school in the country? Our guests today are Mark Cookshouse. He is a former principal of South Division High in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We will also be joined by three representatives from the Latino Community Center, a community-based organization that runs the violence reduction program in the South Division High School in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Welcome, Mr. Cookshouse.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
Tell me about the school. What was it, South Division, like? How large a student population it was? And just what were conditions like before the violence-free zone program was implemented there?
Yeah, Bob, now I've been at the South Division for 17 years, 13 as a vice principal and then three as the principal. So actually 16 years, 13 as vice principal, three as principal. And when I first came to South, I had already been an assistant principal at another high school in Milwaukee, and I got transferred to South. And when I went to South, I was the vice principal in charge of safety. And the school at that time was probably about 1,900 kids, predominantly Hispanic students. It was a large bilingual school. We had probably 40% of our students were in bilingual classes, most of them Spanish-speaking, but a number of kids from Southeast Asia. And then we had some from Eastern Europe and the former Yugoslavia countries. So it was a pretty good mix of kids. And at that point in time, and I'm talking 16 years ago, South had a reputation among the people who worked in the district and probably among, you know, people living in the city as being one of the roughest schools. Now, I entered that school with a new administrative team. I was a vice principal. There was a principal, and I had three other vice principals with me. And one of the first things I noticed coming into South Division was the overt gang signs and kids wearing hats tilted and kids doing handshakes. Now, the other school I had come from, we had gang problems as well, but I didn't see it as overtly as I did at South. And the outside of the building was scary, to be honest with you. At the end of the day and sometimes in the beginning of the day, there were people standing across the street, sometimes with masks on, I mean, doing very overt gang signs. You know, I'd go outside, we'd have our safety, but it was very intimidating for the adults as well as the students leaving the building at the end of the day. So we started with that kind of a culture, and in the 16 years, you know, it's changed, and of course now the last four with the violence-free zone, we've really got a handle on that. But I wanted to point out that the school was pretty, had a lot of violence in and around the building way back when I started. In fact, the first principal I worked there with, after 3 years, he was removed mid-year because of a fight that we had in the building where actually a student got killed in this fist fight. And so that student or that principal was removed, as well as one of the other assistant principals. And I remained, and then we brought in some new people. And we've now changed from, you know, that was the low point. That was the worst in my tenure at South, was when that happened in our building. We've changed to where the last 3 years, South has won safety awards for the City of Milwaukee for the Safe High School Awards. One of them, we were a runner-up, and then last year, we were considered the safe high school in the city. And And it wasn't necessarily because of the fact that we didn't have trouble, because we did have trouble, but it was the way we dealt with the trouble and the things we did to, you know, prevent trouble and try to address it proactively instead of reactively, that I believe won the awards, because the awards were based on surveys that the parents did, the staff did, and the students. And in these surveys, the students said they felt safe in the school. Parents said they felt safe sending their students here or their children here. And the staff said they felt safe teaching there. So it was the way we handle things and the way we try to do proactive, you know, things to avoid violence and to avoid conflicts in and around the building. And, you know, a large part of that was because 3 years ago is really when we got full blown into the violence-free zone with the...
Tell me, what was attendance like? I noticed that in looking at the previous, you had high absenteeism, expulsions, police
yeah.
calls. Were there a lot of police calls to the school prior to the...
Oh, yeah, yes. We'd call anytime we had a fight, and attendance was always an issue. It kind of seemed like when we first were all there, we were like struggling to address all the issues that were in front of us. Not only the tenants and the fighting and the calls for the police, but also, you know, test scores. I mean, inevitably, that's what we're here for, is to get the kids learning. And we were kind of having a haphazard approach to all that. And one of the things, I wrote some notes here for myself, one of the things that we kind of did as the years went on, because we progressed with the people with Andre and Amelia and the other people from the violence-free zone, to having the violence-free zone staff, when they first came, they kind of helped, in my mind, with the safety. I was really just thinking safety. I thought, great, I'm going to have some people here. They're going to help outside the building at the end of the day. They're going to be out with me in the beginning of the day. They're going to help in the hallways.
So you saw them as an extension of your safety staff.
I saw them as six concerned, caring adults that are going to help us control the building. And any legitimate adult that was offering help, I was going to take. I do have a safety staff, and one of the things we did is, as I left, we got a real good working rapport with our safety and the violence-free and the teachers, and that all had to come. But along the way, like I say, the violence-free zone, my first blush was that here's people that are going to help me with the safety and security of the building. But we went way beyond that as the years went on. The violence-free zone staff then, my second year working with them, got involved in a program in the morning to cut suspensions. And that dealt with kids who came late to school and kids who were late to class. And they got very involved in that. So part of the reason we won that Safe High School Award, not only just because of the way we dealt with the violence and the fights, but was because of our programs to reduce suspensions. And a large part of that was due to this early morning program where we sat down with the violence-free zone workers and talked about what are we going to do, what kinds of things we're going to do. Last year, we moved on to another program where we started rewarding kids who came to school and did not get suspended. Every quarter, we had either a dance, and at the end of the year, we had kind of a festival outside the building. It was really, really kind of a neat thing to reward kids who made it through that quarter without any suspension. So we really moved on from just safety to just becoming, you know, more ingrained in the whole school process.
Tell me something about the youth advisors you refer to. Who are these people? And tell our listeners something about the profile of a typical youth advisor that you met. I know one of them, Amelia Stuckart, is someone that you referenced once before. Can you tell our listeners a little bit, who are these people?
Sure. They're people who originally worked in the Latino Community Center, and obviously they're people from the local neighborhoods. And a couple of people from the violence-free zone actually were students at South Division. Amelia was one who years ago was a student at South and then had a little bit of trouble with some conflicts with other girls and eventually dropped out of school and then at some point decided she was going to change her life around, and she happened to call me on the phone and kind of coerced me into taking her back. I was a little reluctant. But I did take her back as a student, and I said, because I'm concerned about your attendance, I want to make sure you're doing the right thing. I made her my monitor. So every morning she had to spend the first class period with me. And that way I could see that she's there every day. And Amelia, you know, turned around. Not only did she graduate, now she's right back at school working as the violence-free zone, you know, coordinator here. And then another person, Jesse Garcia, who used to be a South student, and I hope Jesse doesn't get offended, but I had to actually remove him from the building at one point when he was a student there because Jesse had some issues with the gangs that were in the area.
So he was a gang member?
Well, he sure looked like one, yeah. And he kind of acted like one. And at one point, I actually had to kick him out of the school. And years later now, I saw Jesse coming back. First of all, I want to tell you now, I love Jesse. He is just the best. I'm so happy I got a chance to work with him, and I still communicate with him. What a good man. But when he came back a few years back, I saw him walking up the sidewalk of the school, and I looked out, and I kind of said, who's that guy? And they said, well, he's going to be working here with the violence-free zone. And I thought, that guy, I think I kicked him out of here. And then for a little while, I was thinking to myself, I wonder whose side he's on. But it didn't take long till I realized whose side he's on. And what a great person to have in that role. So a lot of the youth workers are people who at some point in their time, you know, experience the same things that the children in the neighborhood in the school environment are experiencing now.
What was the response to the teaching staff or security? I would imagine if some of these people are performing tasks that one would associate with security or school counselors or even teachers, that there would be some pushback from this. Did you encounter any of that?
Yes, I did. And that's one of the hardest things that you have to do as a principal in a large school is to keep the people working together. And I want to say first off that the teachers at South Division are what a great group of people, hardworking, dedicated. But teachers are oftentimes criticized. And teachers tend to be very wary of anybody coming into the building that they don't know who they are, exactly what their role is going to be. So when the people first from the violence-free zone started working in the building, there was a lot of mistrust among the teaching staff. One teacher once said to me, oh, here I got another group of people coming in here to tell me how bad I am. And I had to say, no, you know, calm down, let's work together. And then with safety, there was an issue. Safety aides said, well, here's people coming in to take our jobs. So there was a little issue with that. And in the beginning, we did have some problems, particularly with some of the safety aides, you know, feeling a little intimidated with the fact that some people were spreading rumors that these people were here to take their jobs. And kind of what I did is I always try to get people together. So one of the first things I did is I had a luncheon with my safety aides, who, you know, are excellent people, and the VFZ. And we just sat down, I don't know, I bought some stuff from the local store, some Mexican food, and we all sat down and just talked to each other, kind of got to know each other. And then we tried to do things together. Whenever there was an issue or some situation that needed addressing, I would bring safety in and violence-free zone workers in. If it had to do something with violence-free that had anything to do with safety, I'd bring them in so that we were always together. So it wasn't like one group is behind this door and one group's behind that door. I kept them together, and eventually, you know, relationships were developed. And my last year there, you know, I saw them working great. The two of them worked, you know, hand in hand, even though their focus is a bit different, you know, the safety focus and what the violence-free zone. They have different roles, but we all work together, and I had to do a lot to get rid of that mistrust. The same with the teachers. The first year, there was a little hesitancy with the teachers to kind of utilize the skills and the programs that the VFZ staff were bringing in. But as they got to know the people and got to see them and got to know who they are on a daily basis, it became a fact that they're just part of our staff, that they're not outsiders anymore. They're here with us. And then teachers, at the end of my tenure itself, were going out of their way to ask violence-free zone to come into their class from time to time to either help with a specific student or help with some kind of a teaching thing that they were doing in the room. So that whole deal with mistrust, that's there, and I've seen that in schools many times before, and that's something that needed to be addressed. But I thought at South we got past all that after about like I say, the first year. Each year it got better and better to the point where when I left last June, well, I actually retired in August, I didn't see any of that mistrust anymore. It was just, here's more people, part of the staff, part of the team.
So in other words, you were an orchestra leader.
I had to, yeah.
Getting the brass to sync with the string section and everyone else. And that's your role, then. You're saying that if you were to advise other principals, that's the essential role of a leader in that situation. You mentioned something in passing about having parties or celebrations bringing kids together. A lot of schools have ceased having any gathering of large numbers of students because of the threat of violence. How are you able to do that at South Division? You said you had dances or parties where all the kids.
First, Bob, I want to tell you that dances other than homecoming and prom almost died entirely in not only my school, but in other schools and the high schools in the city, and mainly because of worries about violence. But I had a vice principal last year who was a lady who coordinated with the violence-free zone, and she came to me with the idea that we'd like to do something to, you know, reward, instead of just always focus on working with the kids with the negative behavior, you know, which we still do and we always will do. She wanted to do something to reward kids who did the right thing, and I was 100% behind that idea. I was a little leery with what she wanted to do. She said, let's have dances, and I said, well, you know, the dances, they could be problematic. But with the violence-free zone staff and, of course, my safety from South Division, and we also have a very good rapport with the police from District 2 in Milwaukee. They sent officers. We ended up having these dances, and the first one that we had in probably about a year ago now, after the first quarter ended last year, you know, I went into the dance a little leery, and I came out of there with a great feeling because here were kids, you know, that are the kids that are the quiet kids that come to school, stay out of the trouble, and some kids who once in a while got in trouble but tried to do the right thing because they wanted to go to this dance, and I saw them having fun, and I didn't see any confrontations. It was really a nice thing to see. It made me feel good. So as the year went on, we continued that to the end of the year. We had like a full-blown festival after school where we had people sitting on dunk tanks with kids throwing balls and the big blow-up bouncing houses where kids jump around in and food. And we had probably 5-6 police officers from District 2 volunteered their time. We had a fire department came to cook hot dogs and give them out to the kids, and of course all the violence-free zone and my safety staff and my assistant principals and a number of teachers were all out there. It was really a fun thing, kind of a neat thing, something I never thought I'd see.
And what was the criteria used for selecting the kids?
Well, we kept it initially just if you go the quarter without a suspension, and that's where we left it. So anybody who made it through that mark period, didn't get suspended, they got an invite.
We're talking about youth violence and how one high school had a remarkable transformation. Our guest is Mr. Mark Cookshouse, former principal of South Division High School in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I'm Bob Woodson, president of the Center for Neighborhood Enterprise, and we'll return after these messages.